This is your regional newscast for Friday, October 15th. I'm Kate Redmond, sitting in for Gavin Dahl. Three Mesa County Valley School District schools are now using masking protocols because of COVID-19 levels. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports Fruita is the latest to make it mandatory for students to wear masks. Students at Dos Rios Elementary, a new Emerson school at Columbus, are also under mask mandates because the schools exceeded 2% of students being COVID positive. There are currently 106 students in district schools with COVID-19, which represents 0.51% of the total student population. In addition, there are 22 district staffers who have COVID-19, and there are 20 D51 schools that are listed as active COVID-19 outbreaks on Mesa County Public Health's COVID-19 dashboard. The Colorado Independent Legislative Redistricting Commission approved a final state house plan on Monday that council will submit to the Colorado Supreme Court today. According to a press release, the Colorado Supreme Court will issue an opinion no later than November 15th. The plan was approved by a vote of 11 in favor and 1 opposed, fulfilling the constitutional requirement that a final map must be approved by a supermajority of 8 of the 12 commissioners, including at least 2 who are unaffiliated. Colorado's COVID-19 hospitalizations, cases, and deaths are trending upward, suggesting that the state's fifth wave is far from over. The Denver Post reports as of Monday, 1,012 people were hospitalized with confirmed or suspected COVID-19. New coronavirus infections also were up, with 13,621 cases recorded in the week ending Sunday. As of Monday, 51 out of Colorado's 64 counties had positivity rates above the threshold where the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention recommends that everyone mask up in indoor places, though the numbers were significantly worse on the Western Slope, Eastern Plains, and San Luis Valley. Kara Judeo Al-Hadef is an author and activist living in the North Fork Valley. With Halloween coming up, which is a candy fest for children, I spoke with her about how the supply chain of the world's biggest chocolate producers are rife with child labor.
We're talking about a very playful holiday, which is Halloween, and this is such a desperately serious issue. And how can we still enjoy ourselves and celebrate and recognize our responsibility and our sense of connection to people from other parts of the world and also ecologies from other parts of the world?
Nestle and the Cargill Corporation were sued by 6 West African individuals who claimed they were beaten, tortured, and enslaved as children in the production of cocoa in the Ivory Coast, where 40% of the world's crop is produced. The Supreme Court rejected the case in June of this year. It was filed under the Alien Tort Statute. Attorneys for the plaintiffs intend on filing an amended complaint after Clarence Thomas, writing for the majority, said the plaintiffs had improperly sued under the Alien Tort Statute for conduct that occurred outside of the United States. Thomas also said that the plaintiffs had failed to establish that the conduct relevant to the Alien Tort Statute occurred in the United States. While neither company owns or operates farms in Ivory Coast, they had bought cocoa from them and also provided the farms with technical and financial resources in exchange for exclusive rights to their crops. Again, here is Al-Hadef.
Nestle's the most boycotted company in history, yet it's not making a difference in terms of their practices because they are so pervasive because they work with so many other companies.
I asked Al-Hadef what people can do this Halloween to give out treats that don't support chocolate produced with West African child labor.
A lot of it is creative alternatives, like we live in Peonia. We have a phenomenal amount of fruit. Dried fruit is a great alternative. Fruit leather, popcorn wrapped in parchment paper, not plastic. If we do really want to buy chocolate, and a lot of us do, there are local, like on Mystic Mesa, they're chocolate producers right here between Hotchkiss and Peonia. And then the fair trade chocolate companies.
That was Kara Judea Al-Hadef from the North Fork Valley, who I interviewed last week about ethically sourced Halloween treats. New Dimensions is an internationally syndicated radio series featuring dialogues with the world's most visionary wisdom leaders. Justine Willis-Toms co-founded it nearly 40 years ago to explore personal, social, and spiritual transformation. I was able to talk with her on Wednesday in advance of her visit to Ridgeway. She will be the featured speaker and presenter at Ridgeway Spirit Fest, which will take place at the 4-H Center, starting with a keynote address tonight. She will also host an interactive workshop on Saturday. I began my conversation with her by asking how, recognizing that we are in a time of tremendous upheaval and change, that people of conscience can ensure this is a change toward positive evolution. Here is Justine Willis-Toms.
We must have hope. We must be optimistic. And at the same time, we have to hold grief because we're so aware of so much that is going on in the world that is disturbing. Even though the problems are very, very, very large, we must not get despondent about being able to make a contribution. Because we never know what small efforts we put forth to change something for the good, what kind of impact that will have. And each one of us can have an impact. Some of us have a large area that we can influence, and some of us are working from a smaller place, but that doesn't matter. We need to work with what's close to us.
I asked her what message she would bring to Ridgeway for people who have lost someone to COVID.
This is such a tragedy, and it's a double tragedy because it's not only death of a loved one or a family member or a friend. So many people have been touched by this. I mean, I know it's over 700,000 have died of COVID. And in their dying, oftentimes they can't even be with their loved ones. This is what makes it even worse because they can't be there holding the hand of their loved one and being present because that's such a gift.
During her talk this weekend, Willis-Toms will introduce participants to the idea of celebrating fiercely. I asked her what else workshop attendees can expect.
I'll really base it off of the 5 sections of my book, Small Pleasures. Number one, the wisdom of keeping our mind and heart open and remaining curious. So I'll talk about that. Also being active socially and politically, serving in some way, and using nature and animals as teachers. And then the one that's most close to my heart is developing friends of the heart. And these are people who support us in our fullness. And then the last one is about celebrating fiercely, to remember to stop and celebrate because life is supposed to be a joy. The earth is maybe not some sort of galactic penal colony. I hope it's a paradise, and to remember that we are living on an extraordinary planet.
In-person tickets to Spirit Fest, which starts tonight and runs through Sunday, are limited. A Zoom webinar is available for those who prefer a virtual option. Visit RidgewaySpiritFest.com for more information. And that'll do it for your regional newscast today. Thank you for joining us. This is Kate Redmond.